you have your Bibles this morning, find, if you would, the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Find, if you would, the second chapter. Genesis chapter 2 will be our text this morning. I have spending time with the Lord and getting a direction on what He would have me to preach. For a pastor, it's not hard to study. It's not necessarily hard to preach. It's very difficult to know what to preach. And you find that you have to spend time with God and beg Him to show you what He would have for you. And you would think with a Bible with 66 books in them, as thick as could be, you could just open up the Bible and wherever. But it's not like that. And you definitely, as a pastor, want to be able to come to your church people and assure them that you have what God would have for you to preach to them. And so I have been setting up some series, not this Sunday, but next Sunday night. I'm going to preach a series, begin a series that will take us a few weeks on overcoming fear. I'm finding that many of God's people do not know the freedom or the rest of God or the peace of God that passeth all understanding. We live our lives in fear, and they don't understand that we've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And I want to spend some time helping us overcome fear. On Wednesday nights, we started a series last week on wisdom. I find myself asking God constantly for wisdom. Let me tell you, you ought to try to make Sunday night and Wednesday night. If you can't make the service, get them on the podcast. Get them downloaded somehow. But we're going to look at the subject of wisdom. Studying the book of Matthew. And I look forward on Sunday mornings, sometime in the year of 2013, we will preach our way through the book of Matthew as Jesus is presented as the great King and make our way through the gospel. And so God is beginning to give direction, and I praise Him for that. For the month of February, God very much wanted me to stop and preach some messages on the family. It's the month of love. I believe in 11 days, it's Valentine's Day. How many in here, Valentine's Day is your favorite day of the year? You enjoy Valentine's Day. A few of you men are going to have a good lunch. The rest of you are on your own. I suggest if you don't have a Valentine, you've got 11 days to find one. If you need some help, you come see me and I'll point you in a direction on how to find a Valentine. But it's the month of love. And I want to preach a little bit on the subject of love, but more on the subject of family. And I believe we live in a day today where our families are under attack. I believe that our marriages are under attack. I believe that our homes are under attack. Our parenting is under attack. And I believe we live in a day that even though we might be saved and even though we might be church members and going to churches, I'm not sure of the health and the strength and stability of our homes. And so I want to preach a series of messages entitled Receiving Your Family. Receiving Your Family. I'm going to show you this in just a moment. I'm going to preach to the men today. To the husband, I'm preaching a message today entitled, Receiving Your Wife. Next week, I'm going to preach to the ladies on receiving your husband. 2 weeks after that, or a week after that, I want to preach a message entitled, Receiving Your Children. And I want it to be a blessing. I'll tell you this at the outset. I don't expect a whole lot of amens today. You will not hurt my feelings if you don't say amen. Matter of fact, I'm going to guard myself from asking for an amen because sometimes I do that. But I know that when I get into a subject with such sensitivity and depth as today, that I really want you to listen. I want God to do a work in your heart. I want you to understand that your pastor loves you, God loves you, the Word of God loves you, and is for us. And I want you to leave here with an understanding of God's word and support and strength in our families. And I am just ever so moved at the need of this. And so I want to preach to the men today. Now, ladies, no elbows, no uh-huhs, no mm-hmm, no mm-mm. All right? None of these. Okay? None of this. Your turn's next week. Men, I suggest hog tie them. If you got to sit through today, you bring them next week and make them sit through theirs. Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18. Bible says, and the Lord God said, it is not good First time those two words are linked together in the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, verse number 18. The whole world had almost been created. The Bible says that God said it is not good that the man should be alone. We know that man to be Adam. We know that he was in the garden. We know that there was creation was made. The Bible says, I will make him a helpmeet for him. Those two words, helpmeet, are the words completer. Those two words, helpmeet, are nouns. There's a noun, not a verb. God looked at Adam and God saw that man was alone. And in fact, that man was alone. God said it was not good that a man should be alone. And so God, having created Adam, God knowing how Adam ticks, God knowing what Adam thinks, God knowing the need of Adam, God then saw fit to create woman. The Bible says she's named woman because she was taken out of man. Understand, the woman was made off of the design and the understanding of the need of a man. Woman was created to be a completer, to be a helpmeet. The Bible, Pastor, I don't necessarily like the fact that you would say that a woman was made for the need of a man or to complete a man. Well, that's what the Bible teaches. I think Spurgeon helped ladies understand it the best. The Bible says that, or Spurgeon said, that woman was not taken from the head of a man where a man could be the Lord over her. She wasn't taken from the foot where a man could trample on his wife. Nothing more disgusting than a man that tramples on his wife. She was taken from his side. From the side, meaning that of a position of equality. And the Bible talks about equality, but he also talks about authority. See, a man is created as a husband. He represents Christ. In a marriage, a woman represents the church. Both of them have wonderful equality, but there's positions of authority, and that's the way that God made it. So God didn't take woman from the head to be lorded over, didn't take her from the foot to be trampled on, took her from the side so that there would be wonderful quality, took her from under the arm to show that there would be protection, and took her from close to the heart to show that there would be love. Now, ladies, let me explain something to you just a moment. I know society will teach you that there's a better place to be than in the position where God made you, in a position of submission and completeness to a man. But let me tell you something. The world did not make you. God made you. God created us. And God fashioned and God formed us. And God had a philosophy. And God had a direction. And God had an understanding. And so when God made us, he made us to respond and react and to determine and to fit in certain things. Please do not let somebody that does not know God tell you how you are to fit in relationship to your husband. God taught us that. And God knows, men, how we are to fit in that position. And so Adam is left alone in the garden, and God says it's not good. So he puts him in a deep sleep, and he takes a rib, and he fashions woman for that, and brings her and presents her to him. In verse 22, you have Adam receiving his wife. And look at the statement that Adam says. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be, say it, class, one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So in verse number 18, God looks at man and says, it's not good that man be alone. I'm making man a helpmeet. By the way, let me just say this, and I think men, you ought to hear this. If you can be married, you should be married. It's not good for a man to be alone. I know Paul said, I wish that all men would could be like me, and maybe there would be that denial or whatever. But if a man can be married, I believe you ought to be married. Pastor, I'm having a hard time. Well, you need to pray. Sometimes you need to fast. Might need to take a bath. I don't know what you got to do. But it's not good that man be alone. Makes me nervous. And so God looking at that, and he fashioned woman, and he brings Eve to Adam. ESPN, I'm a big ESPN fan. They have a segment on there that says, come on, man. And when they use this segment, come on, man, it's these guys that make mistakes and like, come on, man. So God brings Eve, and Adam looks at Eve and goes, whoa, man. Now, I'll touch on that in just a moment. But in these verses, this is Adam receiving Eve. And in the process of receiving her, he makes this dedication or these vows. Well, Pastor, I'm already married. I've already received my wife. Let me tell you something. Just because you're married, just because you sleep in the same bed, just because you have children, just because you live under the same roof, just because you share bills, does not mean a man has received his wife the way God intends for that man to receive his wife. Well, Pastor, I don't understand. You know, the Bible talks a lot about a formal reception. By the way, do you remember a formal reception as far as a declaration? Finish a verse with me, please. I'll give you a beautiful example. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the what? Sons of God. See, in order for a person to be saved, there must be the formal reception of Jesus Christ. Now, some people will teach you that you don't have to receive Christ, that God just will exude his grace. No, those people don't know the Bible as far as their nose on their face. There's a formal reception that has to take place. You know, there will be many people that have an intellect of God but will be in hell. We used to say, the preachers used to teach us that people would miss heaven by 18 inches. They would have an intellectualism about Jesus, but they never received him. And I have a feeling that you could know the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You could know all about creation. You could know all about the crucifixion. You could know all about the resurrection. You could know all about the doctrines of the Bible and still die and go to hell. John said, you must receive Jesus Christ. There's an intellectualism with Jesus that people have, but it doesn't show relationship. And the reception of the evidence that you received is that you believe in your heart. See, the Bible says, and Romans says, that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. There's an intellectual assent to the gospel, but unless there is a belief in the heart, the gospel has none effect over you. And so there is a formal reception that must take place in a man's life. And so now if I change this over to marriage, which I believe is very applicable here, so you understand what I'm talking about, men, you can be a church member and you can go and do all these things and still die and go to hell unless you've been born again. So can a man be married to a woman and not have received his wife? And he can be married intellectually, but there's not that heart desire, that heart unity. Do you remember? I got my wedding ceremony right here. Let me read you some things. What is a wedding ceremony? Listen to this on the last part here, the pronouncement of marriage. For as much as, I'll just use me and Beverly, Tom and Beverly have consented together. Do you know what marriage is? Marriage is a mutual conception or consension that we are going to take each other. It is a mutual commitment. You stood and you said vows. Do you remember the vows you quoted? Let me give them to you. You might have forgot. Pastor, on the day I was getting married, I couldn't remember anything. I don't even know what I said. Next thing I knew, I was in trouble. No. All right. So it goes this way. Tom, please quote after me. I, Tom, take. That word received is the word take, possess, give, have. See, I took the gift of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I am saved forever. If you took that gift, say amen. You made a commitment and an understanding at the altar, gentlemen, and you said, I take thee. And she said, I take thee. But here's what I'm finding. Most of the relationships, a lot of relationships we have, we're married on paper, but we're hurting in practice. And on paper, I have a mental assent that I am married. But in practice, as a husband, I'm not sure that I ever have received my wife. Now, when I talk about receiving, I'm talking about commitment. I'm finding that in our marriages, we're married on paper, but sometimes we're looking to bail. We may not be invested. I've actually had people tell me, Pastor, while I was saying my vows, I was questioning whether or not I love this woman. So don't tell me that a man cannot get married on an intellectual basis and not receive his wife in his heart and to take and possess and to be a blessing in that aspect. And so what happens is we get married and then all of a sudden that union doesn't form. Because there's never been that honest receiving of my wife. She's become my world to me. The same way that Jesus said that he loved the church and gave himself for it. It is the same mindset that a husband ought to have toward his wife. The groom represents Christ. The Christ is fully devoted to the church. We would agree with that. Amen. And a husband needs to be in full reception of his wife. And men, we know the difference if we're in a marriage intellectually or we're in a marriage with our heart. And by the way, so does your wife. So does your children. So does the devil. And so we have a lot of relating here. And our homes are getting blown apart. Good, godly homes that should never have had this. But in the heart of a man, we have not received our wife. Well, Pastor, what would reception look like? I'm glad you asked. Let me show it to you. Here, look at Adam's proclamation here. And first thing he did is he realized the acknowledgement of reception. If you look at verse number 22, who brought Adam his wife? Somebody tell me. God did. God did. What does it look like, Pastor, if I have received my wife? You know, you understand that he said, this is God brought her to him, and a bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Adam recognized that his wife was a gift from God. He recognized that God had brought him his wife. And in recognizing that, he said, God, this is perfect. Pastor, my wife is a long way from perfect. Yeah, that might be true, but she's God's perfect gift to you. Understand this, man. God's gift to you is your wife. A mindset or a heart that has received his wife doesn't look at his wife's faults, doesn't look at her shortcomings. He has the understanding that she is God's gift to him. And by the way, the Bible says every good and perfect gift cometh from where? Above. Well, Pastor, I'm not sure that you can say that my wife was God's gift to me. Listen, if we believe in the sovereignty of God, God allowed you to get married, and God understands that, and God has given you your wife, and she is your gift. And by the way, gifts are to be treated with treasure. And when I understand that God gave me my wife, and I've come to that reception of her as a gift, then I'm able to look through her and honor the Lord. See, most men, our mind and our eyes stop on our wives, and all we see is shortcomings. By the way, let me just, so the women can breathe a minute, men have shortcomings too. We're not perfect. And we don't see that she's God's gift to me. Adam said, wow, this is God's gift to me. By the way, it wasn't because she was stark naked and beautiful. Look at the last verse of the chapter. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were what? Not ashamed. It wasn't because he looked at her in some lustful kind of sensual manner. Adam recognized who was bringing him his wife. And let me tell you something. You can trust God with your whole heart, my friends. And a lot of men, sometimes we look at our marriage, or they look at their marriage, and they see nothing but mistake and failure or whatever. But listen, your mindset will always be, and your home will always be troubled. You want to transform your relationship with your wife. Begin to see her as God's gift to you. Pastor, I'm not sure I asked for that gift. No, but God knew what you needed. I'm going to build on that in just a moment. So the first acknowledgement of reception is that Adam is saying, this was God's gift to me. He was saying, this is exactly what I've been expecting. It's perfect. I cannot improve upon it. Number two, there's the thought of possession and responsibility. When he realizes that God brought him this gift, Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. What is he doing? He's making a commitment and committing himself to be responsible for his wife. She's not only his possession, don't get me wrong on that, ladies, but she did become part of him, but he is also his responsibility. Listen, Adam said, and that God brought me my wife as my gift, and I rejoice in that, and I receive her, and I receive the responsibility to care for her. Amazes me how a husband's mind can want to receive all of the benefits and the privileges of marriage, but none of the obligations. Adam said, she's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and I'm making a commitment to care for her. Now listen, men. The number one thing that your wife needs from you and really is a recommendation or a recognition of you receiving her, the number one thing she needs is not money. Well, Pastor, I gave her a big, beautiful house. I've given her all the money she needs. Pastor, she has all the clothes. That's close, but that's not it. She has all of the opportunities. I bring home a paycheck every week. I go to work every day. I've been faithful to her. I'm home on the weekend. And we kind of think, and as men, we look at that and we say, well, these are all the things I'm caring for her. Listen, let me tell you something. When Adam took responsibility for his wife, the first thing he took was the responsibility to love her. Men, your wife doesn't want the things you have. She wants the heart you have. And a man has the ability to make a decision to kind of yield everything, but not his heart. Pastor, are you questioning whether or not I love my wife? Well, let me tell you something. Your wife knows whether or not you love her. And part of the demonstration or recognition that I have received my wife, that I'm wholehearted, I'm committed, I've taken this, is that I take responsibility to love her as Christ loved the church. And let me tell you, that's all a wife needs and desires from her husband, is she wants to be loved. She will not tolerate second place. She will not tolerate another lover. She will not tolerate competition. If a man really has received his wife, she becomes, outside of Christ, the love of his life. Amen. And so we got to understand this. And men, we may approach things differently, but the evidence that I have received my wife and I'm committed to her and I'm taking her and I'm in this 100% is that I love her. Adam said, she's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Look at the third thing he said. There's this idea of union. Verse number 24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be, say it, class, one flesh. Part of the demonstration or recognition that a man has received his wife the way that Christ, that Adam had received his, is that there's this leaving and cleaving. What does it mean to cleave? It means to adhere or to stick to. It's the commitment to leave all else and spend your days with her. Listen, men, love your wife more than you love your mother. Amazes me how we have men that have been married for some time, and yet there's still this identification with mother. When you get married, you're to leave your father and your mother and cleave and stick unto your wife. She becomes your life. She becomes everything that is important to you. Her dreams become your dreams. Her sorrows, your sorrows. Your joy, her joys, your joys. And listen, that's difficult on a man. I'll just be honest with you here a little bit. One of the most difficult things that most men have after they get married is separating from their mother. I face that just a little bit. My mom will probably hear this message, and I will absolutely not get a birthday present in a few days. I got married, and my family, we went to the doctor for everything. If I sneezed, if I had a bad dream, I would be in the doctor's office the next day. I married a woman where they never went to the doctor. And there was a philosophy of this way of taking care of things, and my mom had a philosophy over here. And I got married, and my wife began to share with me her philosophy, and I began to go this direction, and my mom began to get worried. And so my mom would kind of call me, and the way that she would, begin to kind of encourage me back this direction. Let me take just a minute here and say this. Mothers, don't call your married boys. Leave them alone. You're no longer needed. That hurts me. Good. Because you're destroying a marriage. You're destroying that marriage. And I remember I was getting pressure from both ends. And I mean pressure. And finally, a message was preached about leaving and cleaving. And I'll never forget the day. I picked up the phone. I called my mom. I said, Mom, I love you, and you've done a good job raising me, and I'm proud of you, but you're not my wife, and I love my wife, and we'll pray, and we'll make this decision together, but I need you to stop, and I can't let you have this kind of involvement. What was I saying? I'm receiving my wife. She became my life. Men, let me tell you something. When I got married, I horribly mistreated my wife. Horribly. And how did I horribly mistreat my wife? I left her as completely vulnerable and unprotected as a man could leave a woman. When I got married, I loved all of the benefits of being married and all of the privileges. But I never received her. My vows would have been, I take you to be my wife, and when I need you, I'm glad you're there. And by the way, many of you live like that. I'm glad you're there. And so what would I do? Three nights a week, I was playing basketball. I had all kinds of hobbies. The boys, my old friends wanted to do, and I always wanted to run and go with them. And really and truthfully, I had a life that was outside of my wife's life. And when I came home from single life, and I came home from that, and I came home to being married. The problem was I left my wife. I wasn't a covering. I wasn't a protecting. I wasn't a blessing. I didn't stand for her. And there she was, vulnerable and unprotected, and so dangerous, and only the mercy of God protected us. And some of you guys need to understand that you're destroying your marriages when your wife is not the joy of your life outside of Christ. Nothing wrong with hobbies. Nothing wrong with getting away. Nothing wrong with golfing and fishing and all of this. But there is something wrong with leaving your wife unprotected. And you run like crazy and you're never home. Listen, that home needs to be protected by the houseman, the husband. And Adam looked at wife, even said, a man needs to leave everything and cleave to his wife. But see, our problem is we're selfish. Thomas Alexander Hunter Jr. is a selfish man. I know you don't believe that, but I am. And so in our marriages, We just take everything that we can do and it's our mindset and our joy and this or that. And really and truthfully, we haven't received our wife. And I'm so invested over here in other things, and I've left my wife completely vulnerable. See, Adam understood that God brought him his wife. Let me tell you something. If you're married, you have God's gift to you. Adam understood in the possession that he took responsibility for his wife. And his major responsibility was to love her as Christ loved the church. It takes work to do that. It takes discipline. It takes choice. Well, Pastor, I don't feel like loving my wife. She's not loving. She drives me nuts. You know what I think when I hear a man drive me nuts? When I hear a man say my wife drives me nuts, I say there's a spiritually weak man. Spiritually weak man. Why? Because the Bible tells us men that we are to learn to dwell with our wives according to knowledge. Pastor, she doesn't like to do anything I like to do. Fine, do what she likes to do. I don't know about that, Pastor. I don't know. See, you were told to learn to dwell with her. And we got a culture now that teaches that marriage can be separated. Let me tell you something. The Bible says it's one flesh, no separation. And so men, there needs to be the choice to receive our wives. Listen, you either receive or you reject something. You either receive Christ or you reject Christ. You either receive your wife or you reject your wife. And we got women in marriages and ladies that are living horrible lives of rejection while they're married, while they're caring for the home, while they're doing all that, while they're your bed partner. But inside there's all of this sense of rejection and rejection and rejection. Why? Because a man hasn't received and committed unto his wife to care for her. She's God's gift. She's my life. She's my responsibility to love. Doesn't matter how I feel. I'm going to love her as God enables me to love her. Listen, that is the commandment to a man. And Adam said, he had this understanding of union. There's this purpose together, this one flesh. You see, she's to complete you. And your wife is supposed to be opposite of you. Could you imagine how boring it is when two people that are just the same get married? That's why I'm a little bit afraid of eHarmony. You type in everything. And then they type in everything and they find two matches. You ever tried to put two pieces of a puzzle together that would match? It's impossible. But there's a phrase that says opposites. Been around a lot longer in eHarmony. Why? Because God takes two and makes them one. And God brings two people and unites them together for one flesh and one purpose to serve the Lord. And we've got this massive misunderstanding of what it is for a husband to receive his wife. And so we've got men that are married but not committed to their marriage. We've got men that are looking for other directions. We've got men that are looking for some kind of other fulfillment. Now let me tell you something, men. God gave you your wife based on your need. That's what he looked at Adam. He said, Adam, it's not good that this boy be alone. He's got some needs. He's got some desires. I'm going to fashion woman for him. And so God knew you, sir. God knew what kind of wife you would need to develop you and conform you to the image of God's son. He knew what you would need to serve the Lord together. And so he brought to you your wife. Why would you be looking for another woman? You don't understand. When you go to work and if somebody takes that woman and takes her and tries to find some kind of fulfillment that is designed for your wife's position there, you're going to be miserable. Most men that have an affair, immediately as soon as they do it, I'm sorry, that commit adultery, immediately when they do it, they recognize the unfulfillment of that. Why? Because sin is always unfulfilling. Stop. We got this mindset that something is better out there. That's evidence you haven't received your wife as God's gift to me, as my responsibility, as part of my possession, my body. She's bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and I've got a responsibility to love her. And I cleave to her. She becomes my life. And then together we go through life serving the Lord. I don't know about you, Brother Privet, but down here, our churches are getting destroyed in our marriages. were getting destroyed. Pastor, what would all of this look like? Okay, let me ask you some questions here, men. Have you received your wife? Have you formally acknowledged that she is God's gift to you?
Formally acknowledge? I don't formally do anything.
Yeah, you did. You better have done it when you got saved. And you better do it with your wife. That means you make a commitment and an acknowledgement in a formal way. Have you declared that everything about her is designed to work out God's plan in your life? Pastor, she drives me nuts. That's your fault. That's your fault. Speaking of fault, how do you handle your wife's flaws and faults? Do you reject her? You either receive them or reject her. Now, men, we have the capability for our face to say receiving and our heart to say rejection. You know why we have that ability. Have you honestly received her? Do her faults disgust you? Wives, give you a little telltale time. Telltale sign. If your man is always three or four steps in front of you and gets to the table and sits down and waits for you, there's a problem. There's a problem. A man can either be extremely proud of his wife or he can be embarrassed out of his mind with his wife. And the way that a man handles embarrassment is he runs. Sorry about that, men. I didn't mean to let our secret out. You go in a restaurant, he don't wait for you. He doesn't hold your hand and walk through the mall. He doesn't want to be touched by you. Whatever reason he has, there is a problem. Problem. Big problem. He hasn't received you. He's embarrassed by you. Now, maybe you need to correct something. Maybe he needs to be honest. What do you do with your wife's faults? I promise you, the devil will bring to you somebody across your path, men, that will have the strengths where your wife is weak and try to present that to you. Better be careful. This is good preaching. My wife's not here. She got it earlier. You ever said, I will not tolerate this in her? My way or the highway, my house, you haven't received your wife. You don't understand. The thing in your wife that grates on you is the thing you need to go to God and say, God, what are you trying to teach me? See, she's your completer, and if she's going to complete you, you're incomplete. Have you ever thanked God for her apparent imperfections? And by the way, let me just say something God gave to me earlier. Men have imperfections as well. Hear women say something. Amen. You pick on your wife's imperfections, but what if she came to church and told all your faults? Women carry deep scars. They carry heavy stuff. And if your wife came and unloaded all of your faults, might want to be easy on her. Just because your wife is different from you doesn't mean that she has faults. She's there to complete you. Are you receiving or rejecting that? See, she is designed by God to be used to bring you conform you to the image of God's Son. Sir, have you received your wife? Pastor, I would die for her. Let me tell you something. Who cares about that? She has insurance. She probably hopes you die. There's an insurance policy on me for this church, and there's an insurance policy for me with my wife. If I die, the church gets a lot of money. If I die, my wife gets a lot of money. When she ties to the church, hopefully, I'm worth more dead than I am alive. Your wife doesn't give a rip if you would die for her. What she wants is you to live for her. That's what she wants. Matter of fact, she might be hoping you die. She'd get her eye on somebody else. Pastor, I'd die for her. Listen, love's not dying. Love's living. Love's living. You know, two things that your wife wants you to do, man. She wants you to love her, and she wants you to learn her. You'll never love her if you don't love Christ first. You will only love her as much as you love Christ. And she wants you to learn her. And you said, I take thee. I receive you. Well, was that a mental assent? Or was that in the heart? You see, the problem is, and the reason our divorce rate is so high, and the reason we're doing this, is because men are running. We're not staying. We're not committed. Receive our wife. I wrote something in the bulletin. I thought it was pretty neat. Would you look at your bulletin a second? I'm almost done. This is a husband's proclamation of reception. I found this prayer in a book I was reading. I thought it was great. Father, in Jesus' name, I now receive my wife. I accept her as she is a gift from you. I receive the fact that every quality in her is aimed at perfecting a quality in me. Being a gift from you, she's perfect, holy, and without blame before you in love. I love her because I love you. I declare that love to be absolutely unconditional. No quality in her will deter or discourage that love. She is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She is what I need to be complete. Thank you, Father, that in your perfect wisdom you've given her to me. I happily and heartily receive her. Forgive me for rejecting her at any point and causing conflict through complaining. I cannot reject her in any manner, for to do so would to be reject a part of me and thus to reject you. I will continue in this disposition regardless of what happens. In Jesus' name, amen. Every husband ought to have that as a prayer of faith toward their wife. Loving your wife is not based on how you feel, sir. You are commanded to love her as Christ loved the church. Now, ladies, look at me just a second. Let me finish up with you. A man hears a message like this and he's thinking a couple things. Number one, he's thinking, when is it going to be over? Number two, he's thinking, what is my wife thinking? Number three, he knows he's falling short. Number four, he's thinking, I know what preacher says. I just don't know that I know how to fix it. Okay. I'm going to instruct him that he'll fix it by asking God to forgive him for not receiving you and loving you the way Christ loved the church. But you need to understand something about a man. A man cannot handle, he cannot handle belittlement or disrespect. He can't take it. You cannot kick him when he's down. If a man comes to you, your husband comes to you, and he grabs you by the face and he says, listen, God has spoken to me. God has shown me some things, and I want you to know that I do love you and I do receive you, and I may have done a lousy job, but I'm going to make some changes. You have to let him change. You cannot let him make changes and then question his motive. You cannot say, you're just doing that because the preacher said. No, he's not. Nobody in this room will do it because the preacher said. We do things because God said to do those things. You want to kill any chance you have at a joyous marriage? When your husband comes and pours his heart out of you, you better treat it like the most precious material you have ever seen. A foolish woman would crush her husband's vulnerable heart Do not do that. Gotta let him. Gotta let him. Men, we need some men to look at our homes and say, God, I want to receive my wife. I want to receive my kid. I want to receive the calling of God. God, I don't want to run. I don't want to be those things. I want to be a man of this book. And I want to love my wife. She's your gift to me. I have a responsibility to love her. I want to stick with her and cleave to her, God. Let her become my life and take us together. Pastor, we're way past that. Nope. Bible says, if we confess our sin, he's faithful. Forgive us our sin. And God's people say, now, ladies, next week I'm preaching on how to receive your husband. And then we'll go to the parenting. And we'll go forward. Shall we pray?